Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and we drink beer all the time.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading Children of Time by Adrian Tchaikovsky. And I'm starting with a beer. So this book, which is actually 19 books in one book, takes place in space with planets and shit. And it starts off in the far future of humanity, where they're like really good at space. They're like aced in space. And as we'll deal with the other half of the shit later. So this is Aced in Space by Other Half, which is a double dry hopped IPA that is yummy.
And what do you think their like spacesuits are made out of? Could be made out of triple mylar daydreams.
Definitely mylar. Yeah.
So yes, this is triple mylar daydream by Other Half. This is a triple oat cream IPA, and it is really good. So yeah, okay, I picked this because when we're picking books this year, and we're like, this year we did so many books we fucking hate that this year we're like, let's pick books we actually like.
Haven't done great on that, actually.
So each of us picked five, and I was like, what do I want to pick? And I'm like, I like science fiction, but we've done so little, and the little we have done has often not been very good, so...
It's like we've done the classics. That's
we've done the classics and like pop hits, but not a lot of the deep nerd stuff.
So I'm like, what is a science sci-fi book I actually liked? Oh yeah, this one. So okay, there we go. Okay, so this book, a lot happens, but also okay. So here's the premise.
Yeah, good fucking luck, dude.
It's thousands of years in the future, and humanity has all this like crazy technology, and they're like, you know, spaceships, and they're like terraforming planets, and around one planet, they decide to terraform this planet with like a perfect like a reproduction of Earth's biosphere on this planet, but there are no people. They're going to set it up, one of the main characters, the mad scientist named Dr. Evrona Kern, has going to set it up as a scientific experiment, and they're going to send down monkeys, but monkeys that have been infected with this genetically engineered virus. The virus is not actually there to hurt them. It's going to help them because it has the ability to like supercharge evolution. And the point of the experiment is to like send down the monkeys and see how fast they recreate civilization and how fast they like become human.
But also
that was the original plan.
Well, not to make them
does not work.
Not to make them fully human. It's to make them a servant class for the human settlers that will come soon after. That they're supposed to evolve to the point where they'll be really useful slaves who can like handle basic language. They want to make like a planet of butlers is what she wanted to do. And she makes this speech that sounds like it was lifted from Triumph of the Will about how like this is our birthright. This is the planet we shall make in our image. Without Jews, she says this all nonsense, and you're like, "Wow, I feel like this is." And there's like the swiftest lesson of hubris ever.
Yes, because immediately this is still the prologue. So this is now like page four of the prologue. There's a saboteur on the ship. They're about to launch the monkeys down to the planet with the nanovirus, and a saboteur is like, fuck you, and he says something a little bit more eloquent than that, and he decides to blow up the entire ship. He decides to blow up the entire ship instead, but Dr. Evrona Kern is like, I'm going to get to the escape pod, and or goes to like the science escape pod, and like puts herself in. The rest of her ship blows up, and the thing with the monkeys like basically burns up in the atmosphere, or so she thinks.
Yeah,
and
it does.
Like, well, it does, except not quite, not entirely. And then she's now going to be in this like a little kind of escape pod thing in orbit, and also in this future, humans have this ability to like kind of be put to sleep, put in like stasis so they don't age. And she's like, okay, computer, put me to sleep. Wake me up when this rescue ship gets here. wake me up when the rescue ship gets here. And also the ship is programmed to just send math problems in binary down in a radio signal in math problems down to the planet. Just that's like when they're going to know that they're that the monkeys have actually like figured out some intelligence. So, but she's now there by herself, and she's just like sending out a distress signal, and then this like, and then she's like, "Okay, computer, just like put me to sleep." Put her to sleep. 14 years later, wake her up. There's been a giant war on Earth where almost everyone is dead. Like the different factions, like the pro-technology, anti-technology factions have like absolutely annihilated each other with all of these horrible chemical weapons, as well as a computer virus that literally fries everything, like fries all human computerized technology, which is all of it. And so almost everyone is dead. And there's just like, you know, this is many light years away from Earth, this planet. And she's like, "Well, humanity just killed themselves. Fuck." But because the, her little escape pod thingy works on solar power, she's like, "Well, put me to sleep. Wake me up when something interesting happens."
She's really impatient with the machine. It's like, you gotta like be clearer. It's like her boyfriend. For a second, she's like, "It's fine." And he's like, "Oh, fuck. What did I forget?" And she's like, just "You should know. You should know by now."
And also, like, the satellite machine that she's in would be like, "While you're asleep, we'll upload your brain into me, so the robot will become a mush together of your brain and me, and it'll just make decisions that you would make while you're asleep until they really need you. So we'll have like a replacement you."
And she's like, "That's great. Leave me alone." But yep. That doesn't work.
So thousands of years go by. Humanity like gets its act together and like rediscovers some of the old technology and doesn't quite die and rediscovers the old technology and then gets themselves into space. And then because Earth is dying, okay, so the Earth goes into like an ice age after this horrible war. And when then the humans, they eventually like figure some stuff out. But because the glaciers are now receding, it's actually making things worse because all the ice was actually covering up a lot of horrible chemical stuff, horrible things. So Earth sends out colony ships, or what they say in the book is ark ships, with thousands of people in suspension to find, because they've found a little bit of knowledge from what they call the old empire, of where humans, there are possibly other planets.
Star maps.
Yeah, star maps, exactly. Star maps with other planets where they could try and get to, and even though it's going to take thousands of years to get there, they managed to do this. So you got the prologue, and then it jumps to chapter one, whereas the Ark ship is just arriving at Kern's world. It's finally arriving at this planet. So it jumps thousands of years of like history of into like just, oh, next chapter, thousands of years later.
The Gilgamesh.
And now this is kind of where the book actually starts. Whereas the Ark ship Gilgamesh is about to get to this world. Oh, actually, one other thing. Actually, that's actually not quite the first
one
chapter.
The other first chapter is
two spiders were down on the planet, see each other and like have a connection. They're like, "Hey, wait a minute. What if we didn't just murder each other? What if we actually kind of cooperated for a second?" So what happens is all the monkeys died. They died in the the crash landing, but the nanovirus didn't die, and it did actually infect life on the planet, but it infected insects, not mammals, because there just aren't that many. So instead
of mice, for some reason,
there are some mice,
the biggest mammal they mention.
They do mention that. But so what actually starts developing civilization, or starts developing like first some basic knowledge and then, you know, this like hyper evolution, is not monkeys, it's spiders. And so for the rest of the book, you get like one chapter of the spiders and then one chapter of the guys on the Ark ship who are like trying to get there and stuff like that. And it's pretty much like every other chapter for the most part.
Yep.
Yep. And so, okay.
You with us so far? Okay.
Yeah.
So they've been flying through space Because they're looking for a new place to live. They keep saying like they're the last of humanity. I don't know if that means like they're the only ship or if something happened to their ship.
I thought like there were multiple Ark ships, but they have no contact with each other.
Yeah, because they've all flown off in far, far away from each other.
Different, far away, and knowing that they're going to be going for thousands of years because they're all in stasis. So for all intents and purposes, until the sequel book, at least, I don't know, they're the only people.
Well, they have like a vague idea where to go because they heard like this plan might be good, but they don't really have any really concrete knowledge. They're pretty vague. They really wish that they could be more like Specifico. This is a Pacifico.
Jesus.
This is another day of what did I have left over.
This is a Pacifico, Bobby's Pacifico. Clara.
And this is from Modelo makes this, apparently. But yeah, Pacifico.
Yeah, when Modelo's too fancy.
It's fine, Cerveza del Pacifico. It's Mexican beer. Tastes like the other Mexican beers.
It is a fine beer to drink on a hot day when you're doing fireworks and plan to lose some fingers. Yeah.
Yes, what better way to celebrate 4th of July than with a Pacifico?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. No fault. No harm, no foul. Much like space travel, nothing could ever go wrong. No one's at fault.
In space, especially, no one can hear you weave. So the spite, I mean, what
so,
do you
okay,
want to
I'll,
how do you want to do this?
We'll fast forward through a lot of the plot because there definitely was too much, like that's for sure. But okay,
they're
so the
weaving
main,
quite a tale, though.
So on the Ark ship,
it's
a lot
tangled
of
tangled web of plot, Nate. How can you unravel it?
The plot is told through the eyes of Holston, who is their classicist, which means he's the person who has actually learned the old dead language of the old empire that's like more than 1,000 years old now.
It wasn't clear to me, but it's like thousands of years, right? Because
it's been 1,800 years.
They've been on the Ark ship for 1,800 years.
We don't know how long it's been.
Left Earth
since,
roughly 1,000 years or maybe more than that after like the war that destroyed most people. So
but
now
you don't know when that was.
This is a book.
They don't know. Yeah, nobody has any sense.
Yeah, so Holston gets woken up out of his like suspension pod, and the person waking him up says, "Congratulations, you're the oldest man in the universe," because he's literally 1,800 years old. I mean, for him, he's merely a kind of old man. But
at which point he just said, "Besides your mom."
But they ask him to just translate things. This is an ancient inscription. It says, "D's nuts." I don't know what it meant, but it was important to the ancients.
But boy says what?
It was written in every bathroom. Men's bathroom. I don't know what it meant, but...
We think these were shrines of ablution that took place here.
Man, I was just at a country club for... I was working a gala, and there was the men's room, and next to it was another room that says... ablutions room. I was like, what the fuck is that?
It's washing.
But there
is not what ablutions are? Maybe like ritual washings in the morning or your ablutions?
I thought it was like for shitting.
Those are ablutions.
They had sinks in the bathroom too. I don't know what more you're supposed to wash.
I think ablutions is just cleansing.
Oh, Nate? It's the enema room.
You took
That's
the SATs.
What I thought too. The enema room.
It's just a really big bidet.
It's the boofing room. Room for that
all day bidet.
Oh, there are my golf balls.
So all right, so this book, it's science fiction book, but it actually is also the science fiction authors, and especially this one, also read history, because this book is replicating the history of science in the Western world. So
it was, to quote the young people, it was giving Canticle for Leibowitz a lot.
Yes, it was. Quite.
We're like, oh, I see what's happening here. But with spiders.
Yep.
Their toasters do 8 slices of bread.
So not only was it...
Canticle for Leibowitz.
Not only did it do that, but it was like a lot. All the chapters of the spiders are really like the spiders discovering science, and it really goes through the different stages of the history of science from like the Dark Ages through like the Renaissance, and then like there's definitely like a Galileo character, and that then
awkward spider disco phase,
and there's really like a almost like an Oppenheimer character. Well, and okay, that part
spider
is
Pol Pot was that is a difficult weird time.
And there's some of that, but anyway. So on the
he
Arch
was misunderstood there too.
The classicist, he doesn't read Greek and Latin. He reads Imperial C, which is
it's
the language
leet
of the. Yes, just a lot of sevens. Somebody in there. Such a weird alphabet they used. Why did they do
had
that?
So many words for balls.
When the ancients approved, they would respond with lol.
GG for good gracious.
They respond with eight equal sign equal sign equal sign capital D.
The holy equation of the yes ancients.
Infinity equals the diameter of the universe.
Yeah. So anyway,
careful. This code is not for noobs.
Whatever those are.
ASL. They asked it constantly. Of the cosmos.
That's how you say hello.
So, okay. Holson is the classicist, and he gets woken up, and they're like, we need you to translate something. We're at the planet, but it's sending out, there's something there, it's orbiting, and it's sending out clearly a radio signal, but we can't, you're the only one on the ship that can read anything that, maybe you see if you can figure it out. So he goes, and he's like, kind of running through his like little translator, and also from what he knows, and he's like, "Oh, looks like it's a distress signal." And the distress signal says, "Stay the fuck away." He's like, "Hmm, that's a problem." Well, we're clearly not going to do that because we just spent 1,800 years to get here. We're definitely not turning around right now because Earth is dead. They're like, Earth, there's nothing left to go back there. They say like we are the last humans. This is our plan. They get the, you know, they can see through their telescopes that it's like, oh, this world is green. It is blue skies, green, green forests, oceans. And it's like, oh, thank God we're here. But there's this thing that says, stay away. And it's Kern's orbiting satellite, which he's inside. And then he tries to talk to it. And then there's something that's responding, but he can't like translate it that well. And then there's something else that responds, and it's just a voice saying, oh my God, what is happening? Why am I so cold? Was so cold, so cold. And then it says, like, you must go away. And they're like, well, we're not doing that. And then it shoots them. first, it's because this is the old Empire technology, which is way more advanced than anything they have. It like takes over their ship, like the computers, like it, like, you know, hacks into their ship and kind of like takes over, and they're like, oh,
like
that's
fucking
bad.
Anonymous video.
And then they like shoot at it, and then it shoots them, but they manage to get like two like probes to go out, and like one of them doesn't get blown up, and then it goes down to the and then it lands on the planet, and then immediately a giant fucking spider like kills it, and then like, holy shit, what is that?
It's like one of those Australian spiders.
It's clearly a spider that is like half a meter wide. Like it is.
I thought
a
it
huge
was a meter
spider
wide.
They're a meter long.
They're a meter long and half a meter wide. So they're huge.
I was like, maybe we shouldn't land there, actually. This place looks like it kind of sucks.
No, but they're like, huh, that's weird. We're still going to do it. But then Vrana Kern, the like 3,000-year-old like crazy lady in suspension, is like, nope.
Where are
nope,
my cats?
This is like, yeah.
She says, she keeps saying, where are my monkeys?
Yeah, she's like, where are my monkeys? You will not disturb the experiment. And then is like trying to get them to go away. Shows them more star charts. So it says, you can go to this other planet there. This one is mine. And like, I guess, because it clearly is going to destroy them if they don't. But then here's where the book brings in like kind of too much plot.
Just a bit.
Just a little. So, okay, there's
is
on
the
ship the captain.
No, I love the spider shit. I think what this book should have been, it was two or three books. There were points where it could have just been like, that's the end of the first book. And you're like, oh shit, what happens next? Calling this one book was ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a ton of things. So there's like
I had to go into stasis in the middle of it to get to like recharge for more book. I liked it, yeah. Nate. I gave it 5 stars. It was great. But
okay,
holy
good,
shit.
Good. So no, there's too much plot for sure. Okay, so the captain is like, okay, we're going to like start a moon base on one of those other gas giants that has a moon. We're gonna go take, you know, 50 people out of suspension. We're gonna like dump you there so you can have a presence in this solar system while we go back into suspension and spend another like 800 years getting to the next planet. Because I guess that's what we have to do, because we can't land here, because that woman will destroy us. But we're going to leave this thing over here. But then the people who are going to be left to, to like spend generation after generation on this like frozen moon are like, no, we're not doing that. And so there's
they don't have terraforming technology themselves. They're not even clear if that was a thing that really existed yet. You know, so they
basically find out when they get there. Oh, wow. I guess that did work.
But they have no idea how to do it. So they know if they go to this frozen shit moon, it's going to be like living on the spaceship, but worse. So why would they ever want to do that?
And also for generation after generation, like we're going to give you some equipment and you're going to like set up a colony, but the people don't want to do it. They're like, and so they mutiny. And so they wake up Holston again and they like, there's this whole like long scene where they like escape in an escape pod and they land on the planet to get away, but it's only like 6 dudes plus Holston and like Lane, who is the chief engineer. So anyway, they get down to the planet and they're like, this is weird. There are giant ants as big as our hands, as big as a hand, that also have like metal weapons. And some of them can shoot fire. So first they get like
out of their ass.
Yeah, they literally, and they're like, huh, that's weird. And then they manage to shoot some of them, and then they get rescued by the other shuttlecraft or whatever it's called. But then they kill all the mutineers, and then Holston and the chief engineer get rescued and brought up to the planet. I mean, brought up to the Ark ship, up to the Gilgamesh, and then they're like, okay, I guess we're gonna go off for our next thing. And that was like a big chunk of like the chapters about the Ark ship. Meanwhile, the spiders have not only grown a lot bigger, but they now have developed at least a like early like classical civilization, and they're like still
Iron Age?
Largely like,
I don't know,
based on religion. Yeah, kind of like Iron Age, or
it's kind of medieval.
Yeah,
there's like a mystic religious cult thing that takes over everything that people don't question.
Because they receive messages from the satellite, which they think is some kind of god.
I don't remember what happens where, because there's a lot of going back and forth with the spiders. But they figure that out from raiding the ants, that the ants had been communicating with the messenger.
There's a crystal that receives frequencies, because it's, you know, that's what they do.
But the ants are like off the Borg, like they're like a hive mind. So
yes, and much like the Romans, the spiders figure out a way to make their entire civilization based entirely upon slavery of other people.
Kind of, yeah. So, in the spider
clearly
chapters,
something's universal.
So in the spider chapters, well, first of all, one of the things that the virus does is it actually transmits memories from generation to the next generation to the next generation, and then later the spiders, once they figure out that, oh wait, there's this weird virus doing this thing that it can actually like trade memories with each other, but that's not till later. They actually like go to war with the ants. Like at first, the ants are gonna completely overwhelm the spiders, because ants, this book is a lot about biology. Because ants kind of have incredibly simple brains, and they work through just like one. If they receive one pheromone, they do this. If they receive the other pheromone, they go right. You know, they work incredibly simply, and so the spiders are able to manufacture the right kind of chemistry to fool the ants, and that's how to fool the ants to do what the spiders want, and that's how they essentially domesticate the ants. And to make them work for them. And then the ants do all the mining and like get all the metals, and then also do a lot of fighting for them and stuff like that. Which is an interesting thing, because the way humans domesticated like cows and stuff is that humans convince, like, the way like horses and cattle and stuff like that, and even dogs do this too, is they have all these like pack instincts, and like the group will follow whoever the leader of the pack is. But humans are able to fool them into that. I am the leader of the pack. The human, I'm the leader of the pack. You have to obey me. And that's actually one of the main ways that humans have domesticated when the animals we have domesticated. And anyway, the spiders do something kind of similar.
Well, it's about like dominance, right? You know, just show them who's boss.
Kind of, yeah. But humans can do that to the animals. Like, why would the animals like recognize humans as the part of their pack and the leader of the pack? Don't know, but apparently it works. And that's how that works. Anyway, the Ark ship, they go all the way. They spend hundreds of years in suspension again, and then they get to the second planet. And when they get there, first there's a bunch of, it was another world that had been partially terraformed. So there's like a space station with a bunch of technology on it, which they find. But then they look at the planet. It's all fungus. Every single inch of the planet is just covered in these giant towering like mushrooms. And there's very little oxygen, though there is a little bit. And it's like, well, clearly we're not going to land there. Fuck, we definitely can't do that. What we're going to do is we're going to harvest, we're going to find all the technology that we can get from the station, bring it with us, and then turn around and go back to Kern's world, even though it's going to be hundreds and hundreds more years to do that. Meanwhile, the captain has set himself, there's this whole like plot line kind of didn't need to be there, but anyway, he sets himself, he finds the technology to upload your brain or your consciousness into the computer, and he wants to do that, but it takes so long that Holston, he's in and out of suspension. When he was in suspension most of the time, but he gets woken up, and the captain is now like 100 years old. He's literally been awake on the ship for hundreds of years, and he's all the people he's woken up have now been there and have like fucked, and now have like children, and now they're like infesting the ship. But it was all there so that he could like have a little army of techs to.
It's a total cult, man.
Yeah, a cult to upload his consciousness. But then Lane, the chief engineer, manages to like gets woken up, and so they like manage to fight him and not let. He partially uploads his consciousness to the computer, but doesn't quite. And then the ship
there wasn't enough RAM or some shit. Like,
gotta download more RAM.
There is a point. It's at one point when they do, and they're dealing with like the fucking Avada Kedavra, whatever her name was, that they talk about using a Dropbox. Like, they're like, we have to circumvent her so she can't hack it, so we used a Dropbox. Like, they're still fucking Dropbox 8,000 years. They're not even on Google Drive yet. Like, what the fuck? That's absurd.
They haven't gotten quite back to that point yet.
Oh, they're not even using single sign-on? Man, that must be so, so cumbersome.
They're still using those free net zero hours discs from the mail.
I think there's a guy on the ship whose job is to put the next AOL 500 hours disc.
When they say cargo, it's like 100,000 people, but it's also just six spindles of amounts of free internet hours discs.
CompuServe.
They're still dialing it. Oh my god. Yeah, and every once in a while they wake up and they're like, we've had an error, that cryogenic chamber froze, and they're like, did you try like flipping it over and putting it back in the right way?
Did you turn it off and like, back on again?
Did you defragment it?
Yeah, I did a defrag.
I got the blue screen of death on that guy's fucking thing there.
So the ship is slowly deteriorating, because the ship is now like 2,000 years old or 2,500 years old. And, you know, people have actually been awake and living on it for hundreds of years. And it gets kind of like worse and worse. But Lane, the engineer, kind of takes over and keeps everything running so they can get back to Kern's world. And meanwhile, Holston, for him, this has been just a matter of like weeks or months, because he's, when you go into suspension, you don't know how much time has passed. And he keeps getting woken up, and people are like, "You're the classicist. You have to translate this thing." And he's like, "Oh, fuck, no, oh no." And that keeps happening to him. But hundreds and hundreds of years of like time passing, he passes in only like weeks or months, and he wakes up and he has no idea what's going on, and he kind of has to learn that every time. Meanwhile, the spiders have finally managed to do some math, and like they created this whole thing about, you know, creating the radio transmitter, which is against their religion, but they do it anyway. This one renegade spider does it. Oh, another funny thing about the spiders is like this species of spider are the females are very dominant, and then the males are very not dominant. But, and so there's this whole thing about the males being like, but we just want to be treated as equals.
Much, much later.
Yeah.
Well, because they're one of the many species of spider where the female eats the male after mating. And then guy's like, I just don't want to die a virgin. That's fine. And then they bite their heads off. So that's part of it is, one of those things that science fiction is supposed to do, apparently, is comment on things. And it's like, oh, look at nature, you know, and how humans are supposed to overcome our nature, and look at the spiders are struggling to do that too, like we are, whatever. And in the beginning, I'll be honest with you, I was kind of like annoyed with it. So it's like, they're like, well, what if there was a society, but it was the women who were mean to the men and said the men were emotional and like had periods or whatever. And you're like, oh, okay.
What incel wrote this book?
That's so good. I get it. Ha ha. And they're like, you get your period. I was like, God damn, you got me. Set me up for that. But actually, I totally got over that. I was like, this is great. I liked it a lot. I liked the evolutionary stuff of the language of it, where it's like, the spider, like their offspring would have this thing because of that. And I thought that was really explained well. And it made sense. I was having a hard time keeping track of like how long anything was happening on the book.
I was really confused because was like the same two or three spiders for the whole time.
Well, they are like avatars of the spider. Because species is Portia. Portia is the genus, actually, of that spider.
It was many generations. However, because the nanovirus actually transmits memories to their offspring, it is kind of like you have the memories of your great 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 grandparents and stuff like that. So
grand spider,
it's kind of like you're not exactly the same person, but you do have some of the same spider, you know. But you have a much similar, you know, there's a more of a direct line.
I was like, how long do these spiders fucking live?
Yeah, so in reality, it's thousands of years go by. Hmm. And many, many generations between chapters.
No, not that old, Jimmy. Many of them are Iraq kids. Yeah.
And they eventually learn to they learn to like not only like receive the signal from the satellite, but then they also manage to like decipher what it's saying and then reply. I mean, they reply with the answers because the satellite has been, and this is taken from the Voyager probe, actually, from the human Voyager probe, but went on the little like golden record that was like sent out many years, sent out in the 70s. It's like, scientists tried to come up with a universal language, and they figured it was math. And so they actually start from like 1 + 1 = 2, and then like build up to this whole thing. Isn't that also in fucking
Close Encounters?
Well, yeah, which that was also, but that was taken from the actual Voyager space probe, where scientists are like, "This math is the universal language, so we're going to start with that and show all of this stuff." I don't know how far they got on a record.
Well, they just got to hope they didn't get to the galaxy where Terrence Howard math was a thing.
I mean, I'm just glad that they launched that in the 70s or whatever when they used records, because if they did it later, it's like, can you imagine the Voyager out there with like a Zune with one file on it that was math? And then aliens got like, oh, they use Zunes. What fucking nerds. Let's never visit them.
But the aliens are like, the math sounds better on vinyl.
Just has a resonance. Yeah.
It's a lot just richer. Character.
I told you it's about the speakers, Xandar.
It's just warmer. It's just warmer math. It just feels so
Have you
better.
Checked your stylus?
So the spiders eventually learn how to like respond with the answers to the math problems. And
through
then,
their ant slave computers.
Yes. So they use ants to make a computer because ants, because they're so simple, if they get one pheromone, they do this onto the one antenna and they get the other pheromone, they do that. And if you set them up in arrays, that will actually work as a same way a transistor does, or the same way like logic gates do in a computer. So the ants,
like
the spiders.
What the fuck was it? Three Body, when they made the computer in the game by a billion people holding two flags.
Yes, exactly. That
like,
how they
sure.
Get
I don't know how computers work. It makes sense to me.
But they essentially invent computers. But the computers work. The computers are ants. Just like massive numbers of ants do all the computation.
So it's good when their computer has a bug.
I did like when they figure out DNA at some point. Of course, the scientists were Watson and Cricket, but they figure out all sorts of science shit.
Wasp-son?
I can't, no. Too many jokes in one there. And Cricket, that's it. Come on. Though I do like at one point, they create a stink grenade to confuse the ants. It's like, it's clearly an atomic bomb. Like, come on. No? Nate?
This book did Native not proofs. Have enough puns. You're right.
I'll work
puns.
On more.
Well, there is one that is basically Oppenheimer, and they like figures out the like thing to defeat one of the cities. But he's like, and if we have the technology, we don't have to fear anyone else. But he actually steals it from one ant spider city and brings it to another one. So it's clearly like the Rosenbergs.
But the Rosenbugs are—it's all run by females, so they're all like Barbies coming out. Why would he pay attention to this fucking Oppenheimer thing? And he's like, God damn, haven't we learned anything? Remember, Nate, that was a big cultural thing last summer.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
We were supposed to somehow pick between two completely unrelated films.
Yeah, you know, everyone knows you can't watch more than one movie. That's why I've only ever seen Gremlins.
I've actually only seen Barbie. I didn't see Oppenheimer.
So I haven't either. I've only seen Gremlins.
It's okay. Too long. The first part was dumb. Anyway, we won't get into that right now.
I'd say the same thing for Barbie, actually. That's my review. It was too long and the first part was dumb.
But so they were the same. Okay, so anyway, the spiders have learned to like communicate with the satellite by sending the answers, and then the satellite communicates with them. And for a long time, like hundreds of years, Dr. Avrana Kern is like, I don't understand why they're not understanding my instructions. Like, I'm telling them what to do. And it's really just because spiders just think so much differently than primates would, that they just don't get it. And then she finally the spiders learn what binary notation is, and then like send, literally are able to send a picture.
Well, like they're send writing a digital, everything in Kipu or whatever the fuck it's called. Like
yeah,
they're
so
trying to write.
There's some really interesting stuff about how the spiders would communicate, because they clearly don't have, they wouldn't talk, they don't have vocal cords. So, but spiders are incredibly sensitive to like vibrations. And so they will like, or they communicate with their mouth parts. They by just like signals. It's almost like
it was like Clan of the Cave Bear, man. What they were doing,
kind of was. Yeah,
I mean, they tap on shit to make like Morse code with their legs,
or the string vibrations. They could sense it.
That's like when you put two cans on a string and you yell into it. Except in this, the strings come out their butts and they vibrate into each other's butts. I guess I don't know.
But they do have writing. They do have writing of like knots and shit. It's like the fucking Inca thing.
Mm-hmm. Which would make more sense for them. Like that, because.
Unless the Incas also had rope coming out of their butts and we didn't know that.
I think that's
a
History Channel documentary right there.
Mm-hmm.
Kipu, right? Ancient is that what it's called, Nate?
So they.
Kipu or something? Like
Kipu, yeah. So the spiders finally figure out how to like send a picture through the radio and send what we look like in like, this is us. And then
is this you recently, or
is like, oh no, Aw, oh, fuck, all the monkeys died.
Shorter than 6 foot, gross.
Or shorter than 6 inches, gross. The doctor and is like, ugh, it's spiders. It's these giant fucking horrible spiders. But then she comes around.
Is this before or after she says to the computer, send them the message, I am your god?
Yes. No, she's there. She wants to be the god of this civilization. And she eventually comes around and is like, okay, I'm going to help you. And I'm going to send you all this science knowledge that you're going to start developing new technology based on this. But they have to the spiders have to kind of figure out how to do it their way, because clearly it's going to be quite different. But they do figure it out and start getting much more advanced very quickly. And there's a scene where they, the first astronauts or spider knots go into space, where they have these giant, 2 kilometer zeppelins that can go into orbit and stuff like that, filled with hydrogen, and they figure out all this stuff. Meanwhile, the
Arc ship. So hard to open a beer, by the way, but I've never had this happen. The fucking thing broke. So I'm like, it's pretty appropriate. I'm like a goddamn monkey right now hitting this with things on my desk to open this beer.
Do you get a can opener?
It's 1976.
Yeah.
America. I'm hitting this. They were infected with 2001 space monkey virus that made them smart.
Mm.
What the hell was it called? The obelisk?
Yeah.
Anyway, Nate, did you say... Hold on, I think if I hit it hard... Here we go. They went into space.
They did. I've heard that. I think the book had something to do with space, yeah.
Space spiders.
And you could say those spiders are aced in space.
You already have that.
I'm drinking 2 of them.
Oh, Jesus.
I spent the whole day trying to teach my child how to ride a bicycle without training wheels. I'm getting drunk today. Fuck this shit. It's still good. Just a little, you know what? A little warmer. Still good. Still
British good. Style.
I have to wipe the cum off my screen here where the fucking beer exploded. It looks like I...
Are you
like
using an old mask?
I don't have napkins. I have an old cloth mask here. I'll get this.
So the Ark ship has finally made it back to Kern's world. This is now 800 years later, 900 years later, and they wake up Dr. Holston again. It's like, okay, now we're back. You've got to, we're getting all these weird signals. It's like, but you need to tell the doctor, tell that weird satellite thing. We're coming down. Fuck you. Try and stop us.
Well, also at this point, hasn't the satellite god told them someone's coming?
Yeah. So like they get there and they're like getting all these, but in this, it's not just one signal from a satellite. There are all these other signals too. It's like, is that just the satellite bouncing off the planet? And they finally get close enough that they can kind of see what's going on. And the entire planet has so many different satellites and so many different, but it's all a web. They're all connected as a web through these.
How big is this?
Through these things.
Would you say it's a worldwide web?
It is, yes.
They've just invented the free internet on CDs that they send to people's houses.
And so the humans on the Ark ship are like, well, the ship, our ship is breaking down. We cannot go to another place. This is it. We're going to fight them. You know, we will fight them on the beaches. They're like, this is it. But yet the spiders, with Avrana Kern's help, have developed all of this technology and are ready for them. Like, one of the first messages that Holston is able to decipher says fuck you, go away. This is our planet. Go away. Now, and so, but the humans are like, we have to take over. We have to get down there. And so, the security chief is like, well, fuck it. We'll just go onto the planet and burn them. Except the spiders, who now have space suits, come out to the ship and, take them over. And come out to the ship. And, literally, the Ark ship is being boarded by these giant meter-long spiders with, chemical weapons. One interesting thing about this part of the book is it flips the script on most science fiction, because there's, so much science fiction about aliens coming to Earth to take over, because it's like, well, we fucked our planet, so we're going to take over yours. This is humans who have fucked Earth, and now they're trying to take over another planet from the monstrous aliens in this case being spiders. But it's humans are the ones that are coming to a new planet to take over because they're desperate and they have nowhere else to go.
There's also the not very subtle colonizer speech in there. Was like, these things are just animals. They're no good. We just got to kill them all and take over. Like, they're not even sentient. And Holson's like, what if they are? It's like, no way. Someone must have designed them. They couldn't possibly know stuff like us. They're not human. Fuck them. Kill them all.
So when the Ark ship gets close enough, the spiders, they're like literally launch an invasion. They launch a boarding party, and they like come in and they like break through the hull, or they like, you know, and the Ark ship doesn't have that many guns on them. They have some, but they clearly are completely overwhelmed. And the spiders, because they knew the ship was coming, like they knew for hundreds of years. So they had kind of like three body problem. They had all this time to prepare. So the spiders do prepare. And here's what happens. The spiders have engineered the nanovirus, because they know what the nanovirus is, and they've now like modified it to work for humans.
But we don't, but so before that, like, spiders, what's her name? Dr. Shithead is like, kill them. They must all die. And the spider's like, she's kind of an asshole.
It's true. They don't accept her as a god anymore, because they accept science now.
They're like, no, I'm going to put one of those fucking Darwin fish things on my car. I don't believe in you as the messenger anymore. Thanks. And then they take their New Yorker tote bag and they walk away.
They've invented, you know, space stations and, you know, like an orbital ring at least. But they don't have... their planet is too young for fossil fuels. So they don't have like gas. So everything is done physically and through and jumping slavery. And throwing rocks. Yeah. And mainly on slavery. They did invent TVs with just like color changing chromatophores.
And there's a thing about the sea creatures. Was that like shrimp? What were those?
Oh, the stomatopods.
Yeah. What were those? I meant to look that up. What's a stomatopod?
It's like saying like spiders are the most smart. But there are other bugs and bug-like creatures that also got infected and are like pretty good. They might make it there one day, but they're still not sentient. They're a step above. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck it was. Fucking shrimp or sea spiders.
I just hope that they had the wisdom to invent cocktail sauce when they ate those things. At one point, they've practiced like aphid husbandry. So they could domesticate those.
Oh, yeah. They eat their little poops or whatever.
Like, oh, I'm getting some sweet dew out of this.
So the spiders board the ship and come with chemical weapons. And there's like the final like part of the book is like all the guys on the ship are like, they're here. Oh, my God. They're fucking spiders. Holy shit. And they're like, everybody's terror is like terrifying. And also they like... have all this stuff, and it's like, and everyone is like so like unbelieving, like they're just bugs, but yet they have all of these weapons, and everyone is like freaking out, and the chief scientist is like they're here, oh my god, they're breaking through the glass, holy shit. And it's like kind of, it's pretty suspenseful. And then the spiders release this like, you know, chemical weapon into the atmosphere, into the life support systems, and everyone and also the chief, the head security guy, who they like rip off his helmet, and then the captain, or like the, you know, the humans, they get a transmission from the guy who went out to fight the spiders, and was like, guys, it's okay. It's okay. And everyone is like, what? What are you talking about? And then they all are like, oh. So the spiders have, you know, isolated the nanovirus and then re-engineered the nanovirus to infect humans. And they tested on mice, because they have mice in this like.
There was a part at some point where a couple humans landed on the planet, and then one was left behind, and they studied it. So they're like, it's like a big mouse. So that's the explanation.
And also the spiders are like, we can't believe something that big could be intelligent.
Yeah, it's like the bovines of space.
It just couldn't possibly be. But so what happens is, so the final resolution at the end is that the humans get infected with the nanovirus, but the nanovirus is programmed to make them like, oh, we're actually friends with the spiders. Like this, we're kind of from the same thing. We're all from Earth, you know, going back a really long way. Like we're really like, the nanovirus makes everyone feel like we're just going to get along and we're going to make a civilization. And so the spiders accept the humans and then they come down to the planet and they just start living there. And this is like just the last like, you know, 10 pages or 5 pages. And it's like they finally get down and at first it's very, everyone is like, is this going to be okay? But then eventually it is. And then everyone is like, okay, great. And then the humans are saved. They can live on this planet, but with the spiders. And they get along. They're like living together with them. And then the final 2 pages is like, well, another 400 years
later. It's like 100
years
later
because the technology.
You find out like Lane and the fuck Halston, had a kid that was like in a like IVF chamber or something, that from the one time they banged randomly in the book, and so
it pulls that sci-fi thing of, oh, by the way, the main guy and a lady.
Well, they banged early on in the book when they were the only couple people awake, and they're like, what's going on? We better fuck. Which, you know, every nerd is like, I hope it works like that. And so then they had sex, and then they have a kid that's frozen, and it ends. She dies on the planet. Like, she becomes the leader of the ship at the end there. And
but she's like, and all the spiders are like,
look at that old bitch. Oh my God. So, what is that? But they watch her die, and they're like, ew. But she dies, and then it's her, I want to say, great-grandchild or great-great-grandchild. So it's like a century
like that.
Or so later. It's not 1,000 years. Be realistic, Nate. It's a space science spider book. Let's not be ridiculous.
It's later. And then, so the final like epilogue is they're launching a new arc ship or a small arc ship to go investigate another planet, because there's another planet that's sending out radio signals, not Earth, an entirely different one. It's like, okay, but now through the spider science and through the other science that they have, that's actually an even better ship than they had before. Anyway,
but it's like an ancient message. They don't know. It's just like lemonparty.com. What could it mean? Let's go to that planet. We must learn of the lemon party. Do you think on the way there we could stop by the Blue Waffle Andromeda? the Blue Waffle Galaxy? Like, I think so. We'll squeeze it in. And that's how it ends.
Yeah, and then the end. All right, guys. So, what did you think?
I liked it a lot. You know, when it was like, you know, a quarter in, it, and I was like, sure is a lot about spiders in this. I thought it was going to be like, oh, look, they made the spiders. Oh, the spiders are going to evolve. That's wacky. And then it kept going back to them. I was like, oh, this book is half about spiders. And I didn't like that. And then by the end, when it got like spiders in space, I was like, you know what? I'm back on board, baby. All right. Spiders. It makes sense now. Long term. And you kind of get where it was going at the end of it. But during the process, I was a little frustrated about how much spider stuff there was. But I did like a lot that it was like, oh, the humans are the bad guys in this one. These like little spiders just be like, hey, man, let us just do our thing. But, you know, it came back around and I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. It was fun.
I honestly could have just done the spider stuff. I like that best. It's like Canticle for Leibowitz, where you're like, oh, look, they're figuring this thing out. And then it's, and you recognize it. You're like, oh, that's this phase of human history they're entering. Or it was,
oh, that's
the
Galileo.
Spider equivalent. Oh, yeah, when there's like the fucking, what the hell, like
the astronomer.
What was the Seneca Falls spider who's like, you can't mistreat men anymore. Like, there's like a men's rights spider. It was kind of ridiculous.
men are more likely to die of suicide.
And you leave and you're like, shit, I think I've been red-webbed. I think I'm agreeing with this guy. But, you know, I was like, oh, he's doing the thing where it's like, oh, but I'll gender swap it. Ha ha. How do you feel now, bigot? And I was like, ah, it's the same. But then I really liked it. I really liked the spider part. Because then it also helped that they were like, he didn't bother giving them new names. There was...
I thought they were the same fucking spider.
Like, so there was the Portia was the warrior spider of each.
She was like the leader of the spiders.
Yeah, the well-rounded character. And then there was the Bianca, who was like the tank early on and then becomes like the scientist, like the white mage.
She's the heretic.
And then there was the Fabian, who was it's like the 50s guy. Like, what is a fucking, that's a really random name. I don't know enough about spiders. Maybe it means something.
It must be a Shakespeare character. Because Portia, Bianca, Viola.
But, yeah. It's,
Fabian must be in Shakespeare.
He's the one that gets chased out by a bear.
I had Googled Fabian, and the people asked us, what does the meaning of Fabian mean? One who grows beans.
Maybe.
Fabian.
One who grows beans? That's fucking ridiculous.
Fabian was a teen idol in the 50s.
Yeah, yeah. There was a Fabian.
Fabian's a character in Twelfth Night, so they probably all from there.
There you go.
Aren't they all Twelfth Night characters?
You know what, man? This is why I'm Portia very glad that when that Shakespeare podcast was like, hey, you want to be on? We were like, we're too stupid. Obviously we are.
No, Portia's Merchant of Venice. Okay. So there must be a spider Shakespeare then.
Did he say, what a tangled web we weave?
Yeah, and it really meant they like, I get that literally.
Wait, did he say that? That'd be fucking... No way, did he really say that? It's not from Shakespeare, thank God.
I have no idea. Spider Shakespeare would have, though.
So yeah, I really like the spider parts. I thought the human parts were confusing because you not only have, you know, the interpersonal conflict of any book... It's all through the lens of Mason Halston, whatever.
Halston.
And he never knows what's happening. So every time it's him, you're like, what the fuck is it now? And he's like, I know. Tell me.
Well, he was also having his own concurrent thing with the spiders, like where he would wake up and there was a new era of civilization happening around him. Like he woke up and like, oh, it's the cult era. With all this fall on the guy, and then later on he wakes up and is like, everyone has been alive forever, and they've kept people awake and having kids so they could repair the ship in real time because it's falling apart. And they're all like ship zealots because it is the only home they've ever known, and they will die there so that the ship might live. And it's like, oh, okay, and then I'll step into the future, and like, oh, now we're at, you know, ship the 80s. You know, different time zone, not time zones.
I was reading this because I listened to the audiobook. The anytime it was his sections, I was like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to remember this. This is so like so much happened where it's like, you know, characters are doing things. Cause they're like, that guy thinks I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do that. Whereas the spiders, they're just like, I'm making webs, bro. And it was so much easier. And I liked the whole thing, but I would have been fine with like just a spider book. That would have been great. Like a book.
It would have been an interesting book if it was like just the spiders. And at the end, the humans show up out of nowhere and there's a big war. And you're like, oh, these fucking evil humans. Without any context of why they were there. It
like a Twilight Zone episode or something. You know, like that one where it's like
pretty much.
The little spaceman flying around. You know, he's the old lady. He's like the weird little flying thing, and at the end, it's a NASA spaceship. But ultimately, I liked it. I have no idea what the next book could be, except to be just a totally different adventure in the same universe.
Sentient koalas who just base their entire civilization around getting high in the great
or maybe we learn more about those beetles that they also enslaved but were kind of assholes, like don't matter them.
Well, I mean, no. They set off for another planet. You have to assume they're going to be
okay. I'll tell you
have you done the trilogy
have you read all of them?
I have, yes. So okay, I really like this, obviously I picked it, so that's why. So I like science fiction, but it has to have a story that I actually care about. It can't be just the science part. That's like not interesting enough on its own. It has to have a good story and have like interesting science ideas in it. And then it's like, oh, sweet. This is awesome. It does have too much plot and a lot of scientific detail, which I like, but I also understand if other people are like, oh, all this stuff. I get that too, but I like it. So I thought that was very interesting. So this second book, Octopuses. Third book.
Hold on.
And there are only three.
Can we guess first? So far.
Is it another please. Animal?
It's not a mineral or vegetable. Animal, okay.
It is.
Jimmy, would you like animal, to guess the more ridiculous animal or creature?
I'm gonna go with badgers.
I think it has to be something that flies. I'm gonna go hummingbirds.
True.
Close. It's okay. It's actually ravens.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. It's corvids. So it's ravens, not
I guess he picked animals that were already pretty smart.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he didn't pick dolphins.
Maybe show off,
fuck them.
So anyway, I liked it because it does have a story that I liked and cared about, or I cared about it enough that the science was like, oh, this is interesting. And because, you know, I have a degree in history and I like the history of science, and it's like, oh, he's just doing the history of science. I get it now. Sweet. And I thought that was cool.
What are the other books? Like, is this one, I guess, you know, it's like...
Oh, it's entirely other arc ships. It is like just these same... The characters in this book do not appear. They just do not appear at all.
Okay. But I mean, is it the same thing again? Like, they're doing this thing and their octopuses are going through
definitely some twists to make it not just the same thing again. I mean, I forget which book it is, but the arc ship is the Enkidu instead of Gilgamesh. I think Enkidu. It's the third one. No, is that the second one? I can't remember. No, it's the third one. Yes, the Enkidu instead of the Gilgamesh. I think they all have
Starship Steve.
They all have Gilgamesh names.
The Utnapishtim or whatever. you know what? I'd like to read them at some point. I don't know if we'll do them for this or I'll just read them, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind reading.
It was fun. A shit ton of stuff happened. And it was somewhere in between like Three Body Problem, I think, is the hardest science fiction I've ever read in terms of hard sci-fi
weirdness.
Most science-y, yeah. Where I'm like, I don't know what that means. Whereas this, they're just like, it's on a ship that has fusion drives. I'm like, yeah, whatever the heck, that's fine. I liked it a lot. I enjoyed the plot. It was a lot. It probably could have been trimmed back, but you could.
Yeah, it was 20%, at least 20%.
But you could probably say that for almost every sci-fi book.
Yeah,
because people who like sci-fi like plot. Like they like more opportunities to show your cleverness and your, you know, whatever. I really dug it. I saw that there was option to make a show out of it or something. I was like, that's gonna help.
Well, I mean, they'll option anything these days, because
it costs them relatively little.
Because content,
you want to lock it down before someone else does, even if you never do anything with it.
It would be a terrible show. It would be a terrible.
It would
show.
Be so hard, so expensive to do all the spiders. I mean, that would be all CG, and it would look so bad.
It would look
unless you spent $1 million on it.
And they would never talk. It would just be silent subtitles.
You know what? That might be kind of innovative in a way. Like, there's a whole plot that's not audible. That might be interesting.
They did it. They did it for Wally.
Yeah, but he's not a sentient spider who makes a space silk suit. You know, I think it'd be a bad show.
It would be.
That's true.
I really like that as a book.
Good.
Don't get full.
Because my final pick.
Oh, nothing. What is your final pick?
Seven Eves by
that's like 3,000
Stevenson
pages.
It's longer than this and way more science.
It's literally more than twice this.
This was only like this was
isn't
like
it 1,000 pages?
Eves?
No. Seven Eves is like 700 pages.
Eves is massive, isn't it?
Stevenson's books are all ginormous. He builds his home out of them. Literally, he
gets the paperback copies
and he mortars them together as bricks.
Pages, Seven Eves, 880 pages. This was merely 600. So this is another
Stevenson stuff is pretty
25% book. Yeah,
it's not a breezy sci-fi.
No, and Neal Stephenson. Stephenson has like so much more scientific detail in it than this does.
Yeah, it's this, like a fucking tech manual.
This had a lot. Children of Time had a lot of science in it, but that doesn't even get close to like the real sci-fi.
Oh, good. I'm glad I can go back
to what the cool kids are into.
Like, man, they picked a really good book.
I mean, I've wanted to read Seven Eves, but you know, I was wondering when we could do it on this because it would take so goddamn long to read.
Yeah, I have a feeling it'll be a while. Before we get to that.
And hopeful
it's within the next few months.
I listened to the audiobook for this, and Nate will be proud. At one point, I got up to 3.2 speed. I was listening to this. I was just plowing through. I was like, I don't wonder Nate thinks he could read a lot. This is easy. I listened to this book in 2 days. But it was...
I basically go to like somewhere between 1.75 and 2.5 is usually what I do.
I mean,
2.5 if I really don't care is usually slower.
Nate is passing on his understandings.
Yeah, there was a lot about spider cum packages in this book.
Yeah, when you come into another spider, they get all of your knowledge.
That was the nanovirus. But tell us what you understood.
Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter @drunkguysbc.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram @drunkguysbookclub.
And what the other one was supposed to say? Oh, yeah. Patreon. That's it. I don't know. I'm very drunk all of a sudden. No one cares. Patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub. Check that out.
And Goodreads. There. Spiders.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.